Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Boom Live. I'm Jason Powell, and I'll be joined momentarily by Survivor Hall of Famer and the host of RealityAfterShow.com, Johnny Fairplay, and we will be taking your calls coming out of WWE Crown Jewel. That said, all current events related pro wrestling topics are welcome. Just call 773-897-6321. And once you're in the system, hit one on your phone. That signifies that you want to join in on the conversation and you're not just in listen-only mode. It has been an eventful day in my home. I dropped off my absentee ballot this morning, and that was a nice, simple process. I hope it goes that smoothly the next 18 times that I vote in this cycle. All right, that's just a joke, so lunatics, I hope you'll calm down. My only ballot has been cast. But election day is tomorrow. Of course, I encourage everybody to get out there and vote. And before we get started, I also have a warning. There is a new .NET dog in the house. We recently did an 8-day test drive with a guy named Milo, who just unfortunately wasn't a good fit. Very aggressive. I liked him. I was totally willing to work with him. And then he bit our landlord. And that was kind of the end of that. There's no coming back. It was like the one thing the guy couldn't do. We had a 2-week grace period, so he had to go back to his foster mom. It was a really sweet woman, and we actually just found out that he has been adopted somewhere else, so that was great news. But our newest guy, his name is Obi. He is a 5-year-old Boston Terrier, and he comes from a breeding background. And as much as I do despise puppy mills, it is kind of fun to tell people that my dog is a legit stud, so there is that. But my gal and I drove 4 hours to Des Moines, Iowa, to pick him up on Saturday after Crown Jewel, and then turned around and drove right back another 4 hours home. So we've had the guy in the house now for, I don't know, not even 48 hours. But Obi came with the name Nate, and it's O-B-I, by the way. I'll explain that in a second. But his foster mom had given him the name just a few weeks ago, and he didn't really answer to it yet at all. So she gave us the blessing to change it. I was cool with it. But then my girlfriend, who is not a Star Wars fan, brought up the name Obi, because she said that his coloring reminds her of Obi-Wan Kenobi's cloak. And as a Star Wars geek, I was immediately sold. So Obi it is, or Obi-Nate Kenobi, if you will, just to pay homage to his last name that he had. But he's a super calm dog, really unsure of everything right now. But the warning part is that what we've learned is that Obi can snore with the best of them. I think he's going to be fine. He's just kind of wandering around right now, not sure what to do. But if he starts snoring, I may need to take a moment to put him in his crate. Dead air sucks, I know, but I'll give you a warning if it comes to that. And, yeah, it'll be cleaned up. So if you're listening on delay, not live, you won't even notice a difference other than me warning the people that are listening live that it could happen. But now you know about Obi, and you've been warned. So let's get into the show. We do have several callers already on hold, but I want to bring in Johnny Fairplay here. If I can figure out which number he's calling from, I can never remember. Oh, is he even in the queue? I don't see him yet, I don't think. Maybe I'm forgetting. Johnny, let me know by Twitter what your number is that I'm looking at. He says he can't get in, so I guess that means I'm flying solo for now. I don't know why he can't get in. Other people are getting in. Fairplay, what the hell? Just call the guest line like everybody else and hit one on your phone. How hard is it, Fairplay? Jeez. Now I regret giving a plug to his new reality television show website, not to be confused with his old one. But Fairplay, I'm sure we'll get him on board at some point. And again, we do have a number of callers. We also have emailers. If you are listening at work and you're like, hey, I'd love to talk about this, but I can't call because I'm at work. Well, you can email me, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. That will get you in. I'm going to start today with somebody who gave me a heads up that he is actually in the hospital. And he was about, it looks like, 15 seconds behind again. Sean is awesome about calling in. He just barely manages to beat this guy when he does call in. But Sean, I hope you'll be patient with me because we are going to go, given the circumstances, we'll go to the one and only Rabbit Brain. Rabbit, I'm sure Fairplay's devastated that he's not here to hear from you. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, how are you doing?
Sounds like better than you. What's going on with you, man?
Excuse me. I'm in the hospital. I've been here for like 4 days.
Ugh.
But I didn't want to miss .NET. all my loyal listeners.
All your loyal listeners, yes. Do you care to say what's going on, or you wanted to keep that to yourself? I totally understand if you don't want to get into it. Either way, hope you're...
It's a combination of a whole bunch of things breaking down on me. I'm 73 years old, so, I'm going through all kinds of tests.
Well, I wish you the best, my friend. I really do, and I hope everything turns out okay. It is devotion that you actually called in from the hospital. That's impressive. If I were in the hospital, I can tell you this, Rabbit, there would not be a show today.
Well, I figured that I owed it to all the listeners who listen, just so they can hear my voice.
I love our listeners. I don't love them that much. I'm in the hospital. I'm a baby, man. I'm out cold. I'm just give me all the pain medication you can. Bring me some Jell-O or some pudding, and I'm good. But what's on your mind today?
That's true. 1 second. Get my throat caught.
Sounds
Sorry.
Good.
Okay. What I was going to say to you was, I watched the pay-per-view. It wasn't great, but it was okay. Sometimes
I think that's fair.
It's sometimes like you're just average. It's the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, can you really say that about Roman Reigns against Logan Paul? I mean, that's certainly not the same, whether you liked it or not. And I know it's a polarizing match. But as far as just on paper, I think most people agree after seeing it, like, wow, that was really impressive considering Logan Paul's limited experience. But, you know, you can't say that that's something they do all the time.
On the same subject, I'm wrestling. Do you remember, do you think with Triple H, the way he's doing things right now and the way he's running things, do you think this is going to evolve into how great the NXT ones used to be when NXT was in its prime? But it was a must-see watch show?
So I already feel like these events are better. You know, SummerSlam was still a partial, you know, Vince had a lot to do with that. Vince McMahon did. But at the same time, I really felt it was an enjoyable show and you had the big spectacle main event. I like what they've done thus far. You said it was okay. I said this was a good show. I gave it a B, a good solid B. It was, but for the Saudi shows, I felt it was the best one they did over there. It didn't feel like, and they kind of have drifted away from this slowly, but those early ones felt like, well, if you see them, you see them. If you don't, it's really not messing with anything as far as like what you see on the week-to-week television shows. And it does feel like they've made them more meaningful now, like they're part of canon, if you will. They're meaningful to the actual WWE product. And I think they've done a nice job. I can't really point to a bad match on this show. Yeah, I mean, Braun Strowman and Omos is what it is, but its type, a battle of the big men, I thought they did fine. So, yeah, will we get TakeOver? I guess it's complicated, Rabbit, because TakeOver basically five matches, and it was a work rate-driven show. And so the fact that they go longer, I think this show is probably closer to 4 hours. That's going to work against it a little bit. And it's the main roster, and I think it's going to be more work rate driven than it was before, but probably not to the same extent that NXT TakeOver was. So if that's what you're looking for, they may not get back there completely, but I think what they miss out on when it comes to the work rate, they're going to make up for with pageantry, storylines, and things like that. It's going to feel certainly bigger than the TakeOver events did in most cases because you have the big, in this case, stadium setting. And other shows, you're going to have the big arena setting. So I hope they can get back to that point, but I think there are a couple of things working against it.
I mean, do you remember how many, and I could be wrong on saying this to you guys, but I remember when TakeOver would have a great TakeOver, and then the next day at the pay-per-view, it would just blow out. It was like they were dominating WWE at every pay-per-view, it seemed like.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love those TakeOver specials. You know, like I say, five matches typically and very work rate driven. You'd kind of get the very best of NXT. And I think, you know, hey, there's some great workers on the main roster. And I think if they want to take that approach and really focus in on the work rate, they can. But it's, you know, main roster, you're always going to get just a little bit of a different product, I think, than what we were getting there, where it's, again, not going to be as work rate driven.
Jason, real quick. Of course. Okay, Jason, check this out. When Sasha and Bayley were in NXT and they had that big blow-off match in Brooklyn, and the next night the WWE had their big, they had their pay-per-view, that match literally blew out the wind of anything the WWE was doing in the next night. It was like boring compared to what went on in NXT that night. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the specifics. I remember the match and everything, but I couldn't tell you, like, what was the show that followed. I'm just bad with that. I watch too much Wrestling Rabbit.
Oh. Anyways, I love you guys. And .net Universe, I'll be back next month with something to say we're saying.
Well, hey, good news, man. We're going to be back sooner than that because Full Gear is coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And then Survivor Series after the week after that. So we're going to have a nice string. There won't be a Boom Live next week, but there will be two in a row coming up. Still two more to go in November, and I hope we hear from you, and I hope you feel better, Rabbit.
Oh, I will be. And I just want you to know I love you guys, and may Jermaine have a wonderful life.
And may wonderful. We love you, too.
And may
now you've gone way too far. Now I'm hanging up on you for that one. I'm kidding, but it sounds like he was wrapping up. But he is referring to a fellow .NET member named Jermaine from Chicago, who we'll be hearing from email-wise in a little bit. Jermaine, always a loyal supporter of the Q&A audio show, and sends in his questions for this show. And he and Rabbit have the strangest rivalry ever. Rabbit started attacking him in his rabbit brain persona, and then, just out of nowhere, started inviting him to all sorts of, like, high school football games, saying that he would pay for his ticket, buy him a hot dog, all sorts of stuff. And Jermaine has yet to take him up on the offer. But I don't know if this is, like, a sneak attack by Rabbit or if it's just very sincere. But I all kidding aside, let's all say a little prayer for Rabbit. Hopefully things are going well when they're still running tests and they don't know what's going on. You heard the cough. Hopefully he's doing okay. And when Rabbit is telling it, Rabbit Brand, who usually tells us all sorts of horrible things about ourselves, is telling us he loves us, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned for the one and only Rabbit, a long-time .NET member and a really good guy. So, Rabbit, get better, my friend. And Johnny Fairplay, if you're listening, he said he's tried 25 times to get into this system, and I don't know what would be holding him up because it's not like we have empty phone lines. So, Johnny, I'll give you the same instructions that I'm giving everybody else. The number to call is 773-897-6321. Once you do that, that will bring into the system, hit one on your phone to let us know that you are in conversation mode, that you're not just in listen-only mode, and we'll be happy to take your call. We will keep rolling through the calls here. I do want to give people a heads up if you're listening live. A little over 15 minutes from now, the new McGuire Monday piece is going to go live at ProWrestling.net. With Colin McGuire writing about the Logan Paul and just really celebrities in pro wrestling overall. And so I've had a chance to read it. I did the editing. Hopefully I didn't miss anything. But good piece, as always, from Colin. So check that out if you get a chance. And we also found out via that column that Colin and I have something in common that I don't think either one of us really want to admit to publicly. Yeah, we both enjoy the Love is Blind reality show on Netflix. I am not caught up on the current season, so don't spoil anything there. I did watch the after show from last season and really enjoyed it until they provided the even post after show update. And I was like really sad. So yeah, there's that. I also like The Circle. This is like confessional for me. All the bad TV that I like, I told Colin, like, teenage me would be so disappointed in me right now. Oh my Lord. But let's go to, I believe this will be Sean from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a regular caller. 304, you're up next. And then 405, I see you waiting too. We'll get to everybody today, I promise. Is this Sean?
Jason, it sure is, man. And Johnny, I will say, man, this is disappointing, man. This is disappointing. Like, how dare you not be able to get into this show? That's just not right. I do not stand for it. But I miss you, Johnny. I hope you get in here soon. Jason, always good to talk to you, man. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, and I think it's great that you're attacking Fairplay for not knowing how to work a phone. I mean, technology is a little tricky once in a while. So I don't doubt his I don't doubt that his excuse. Things get weird once in a while. But I do wonder if he knows that my plan was to talk about what a disappointment he is. A celebrity who entered wrestling and is, you know, obviously just has nothing compared to Logan Paul. Can you see Johnny Fairplay working a match with Roman Reigns? Because I can't.
Yeah, Jason, I agree with you. I don't see it either. I don't see it. As much as I like Johnny, I like him. He's a good dude. He's very charismatic, but man, Logan Paul is just so much more charismatic. I mean, you know, Logan. But I will say, Logan Paul did a good job. I did want to put that out there. Unfortunately, you know, he got hurt. I hope he's okay. I hope he's able to recover. But I just, he did a good job for what they asked him to do. I think he does it really well. And you know, whether he's going to get over or not with the fans, that's a whole other story in a good way. But that's a whole other thing. And Jason, I wanted to bring up really fast. Man, even though I don't think your Vikings are, like, the most amazing team out there, they're winning games, man. You know, they're doing it. They're getting it done. My Packers suck. I'm sorry, they suck, but they are very terrible right now. And I mean, you got big bragging rights, man. I'm happy for you. They're doing really well. So I wanted to throw it out there.
I appreciate it. I'm not one to boast, especially about a team that, yeah, they're 7-1. But every game is just way too close for comfort. Yeah, you know, and it's like I went through this last season, and they were on the losing end of those really close games. I think they lost more close games last season than any team or something like that in the league. And so they've turned it around in that regard this year. But we're roughly at the halfway point of the season. They threw in that extra game, or we would be. And it's like I can't rule out that they just turn around and start losing a bunch of games, these close games either. And they've been really lucky when it comes to injuries so far. They haven't had any major injuries. Knock on wood, that's not going to be an issue. I cringed when Kirk Cousins went down yesterday and missed one play. Ended up getting right back in there. But I also cringed, Sean. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. When Kirk Cousins somebody put a chain on a shirtless Kirk Cousins, and he was dancing on the team plane home. I had Brian Fritz send me this footage last night, and man, I just labeled it American Horror Story Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I did not see that. I'm glad I didn't.
You don't
that
want
sounds
to.
Just awful.
It's brutal.
Oh,
I mean, it's funny,
wow.
But it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, that would be. Well, and I want to say too, you know, I pray, you know, Rabbit is doing okay as well. You know, I do not hold any hard feelings for you going to him first. When you're in the hospital, no matter when I call in, it does not matter. He just deserves to go first, and I hope he's doing okay.
What do you think the odds are, Sean, that he's going to work this gimmick now? Like I totally believe he's hospitalized right now, but does this turn into something like next November? I'm still in the hospital, even though we hear like traffic in the background.
Again, I wouldn't put it past him, but no, I don't think he'll go that far. But if he does, I mean, you just never know. You just never know. But no, going back to wrestling, I wanted to say, I mean, you know, for what the Crown Jewel show is, I mean, it was fine. I really didn't – I think my main kind of beef with the show, I guess, was – and I apologize. I'm going to go back to listen to your guys' review on it. I have not actually heard it yet, and I always feel bad when I don't right away. But I don't – the finishes, I did not care for a lot of the finishes in a lot of the matches. And I'll start with Drew and Karrion Kross. You know, I don't like the feud, of course, to begin with. You know, I think even though Cross is newer and, you know, they want to push him and, you know, I've never been a fan of him. Everything I've seen in NXT and so far, he's done okay on the main roster, but he's not a top star to me. I just don't see it with him. Scarlett helps it, but I don't see it going all the way to me. And so, in my opinion, I just think Drew should go over. And so in that match, you have, you know, Scarlett spraying with Mace again and, but all of a sudden, the match before, he couldn't see anything. But all of a sudden, now he's able to see really fast, and he can do all this stuff to Cross, and he can climb the cage and win the match. And I don't know, the finish just, to me, logically doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I know what they were trying to do. I mean, I'm glad Drew got the win because I just think he needs it more. I just think there's more invested in, you know, him going forward than there is with Cross. I just don't – so – where do you think they're going with Cross first? And then where do you think Drew could be going? And what did you think of the finish of the match between those two guys?
fair criticism when it comes to the finish. I think we're at that point where they don't want either guy to go over too strong because they still have some big blow-off match in mind. I don't know if it's going to be Hell in a Cell or what it would be, but it's tough because, you know, Cross came in that first time, and they just did such a horrible job with him. And I know there's shortcomings that people point to with Karrion Kross, and you know, it's, I think the criticism is valid, but I don't think he was nearly as bad as he was made out to be when he had to wear the gladiator outfit and all of that. I'm happy to see him back, but I think they kind of skipped some chapters here with Paul Levesque coming back in. I think Kross is a guy that you want to establish with him being very vicious and beating the holy hell out of some enhancement types or just lower-end people. And instead, they just inserted him right into the program with Drew McIntyre at a time when Drew was feuding with Roman Reigns. And so we really didn't get that big Kross buildup. And I don't know that that was going to help him with, you know, a more hardcore type of fan. But I do think for the average viewer, he would have benefited from more of than what we saw from that and just kind of working his way up. You're just jumping way up to Drew McIntyre, and it doesn't feel like a showdown as much as it feels like, all right, let's see what this Kross guy has. You know, it's just kind of naturally, I think there's going to be some skepticism, even from just a more casual viewer. And, yeah, it's like they've traded kind of fluky. Now, well, McIntyre's win wasn't fluky, but it was, you know, beat the clock kind of a thing, or one guy's falling from the cage as the other guy's crawling out the door. So it wasn't definitive, like a pinfall victory, a submission victory, or anything like that. I wasn't surprised to see it. I can't say that I'm all gung-ho and excited to see what comes next from them. But, Sean, I think that's all it was a bridge to whatever does come next from them.
That's interesting. And that's, I guess that's the thing, you know, just bringing up, you know, the Bobby and Brock, you know, they were trying to make it a different kind of finish. But to me, it makes Bobby look dumb because Brock jumps back on him and lands on his back. All Bobby has to do is just turn over. Like, it's all he's got to do. Like, I mean, it just makes Bobby look dumb. And they're trying to do these different finishes. Oh, something maybe we haven't seen before, but it just logically doesn't, you know, look good. And I wanted to bring up the main other question I had WWE-wise was, you know, with the Bianca Bailey.
You know, can you sit on it for 1 second, Sean? Sean, can you hold on for one second?
Yep.
Because shocking news, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Fairplay has figured out how to work modern-day technology.
Yeah.
He knows all about it. He runs his own podcast and everything else. But Fairplay, what the hell happened?
I don't know, man.
Well, you're here now. That's the important thing. And an OB update for everyone who, well, the one of you who may be wondering, he is snoring in the other room. I could hear him, and so I did close the door as much as I can. But hopefully it's not the mic isn't picking it up too much. But at least he's not in here snoring. But Fairplay, welcome to the show. He is, of course, Survivor Hall of Famer Johnny Fairplay. And we'll just pick up with Sean's next question. You were, I think, asking about something with Bianca Belair, maybe, Sean?
Yeah, Johnny, good to talk to you, man. With Bianca and Bailey, I predicted going in that I just thought Bianca had to retain because a lot of people, especially on the tours, were, you know, going back, I think Bailey has to win the title. But in my mind, Bailey losing the couple times that she already had, I just didn't know what she gained by winning the title. I just didn't think it really helped the title. I didn't think it helped her in the moment, even though we all want Bailey to win a title back at some point. I just didn't think this was the time. I didn't really – the match was okay. It was what it was. I'm not a big fan of the last man-woman standing matches. They did what they could to make it, you know, invest you in it, and it was good. It was fine. But with Bailey, I mean, I think with Bianca, I'm assuming, you know, maybe Charlotte will come over because Charlotte's going to be coming back at some point. I think that match would be a lot more fresh, and it fits their characters really well. But where do we go from Bailey? Because I think, you know, now after a few months, 3-4 months, I think she's really been hurt coming back. I, you know, is it her or is it the booking, whatever, but she was so hot coming back, and I think they've hurt her in a lot of ways. Where do you think they go next with Bailey?
Johnny, you've had a chance to just sit on the sidelines and call the number repeatedly, so I'll let you answer this one first. Where did Fairplay go now?
Oh, no.
Fairplay, are you there? He's still showing up in the queue. His mic's on. Fair play. Did you mute yourself? Wow. Technology and Johnny.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do with him?
I don't know. At least, hey, he made an appearance. He said he didn't know what was going on. And now, if nothing else, Sean, I don't have to change the headline that I have all set up to, you know, for the show when I put it up on the site afterward. So it is with Johnny Fairplay, whether we get him back on the show or not. It's sticking.
Awesome.
All right. So you were wondering what comes next. I'm wondering what comes next with Fairplay. But so Bianca Belair, so I would obviously Rhea Ripley sitting there on Raw. But Rhea Ripley's also tied up in, it seems like this Judgment Day and OC feud is continuing. The OC is kind of, they seem to be hinting at bringing in someone to counter her. And it may be Beth Phoenix, or it may be somebody else. And then they save Beth and Edge for somewhere down the road. But one way or another, it seems like she's tied up. So she would be the natural one you'd think they could slide in. They may be saving that match for Mania. Rhea Ripley challenging Bianca Belair, possibly. I don't know. So I think Bayley has been damaged. I think some of it, I can't point to the booking 100% in this case. I don't think her promos have been very good. I've been underwhelmed. She was such a good talker, you know, during the pandemic era with the Thunderdome, back in that era, when they'd have just the virtual fans and everything. I looked forward to her promo segments, and now, man, it's just been really disappointing. It's just generic, you know, insert name of city here, insult local sports team or local city, whatever, and it just hasn't clicked. And I was also excited when she got together with Io Sky and Dakota Kai and formed Damage Control. I think everybody was buzzing about that. I think that was a SummerSlam move. And I think it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still been pretty underwhelming. And so do they do one more match where Bayley has to put something at stake just in order to get one more opportunity? I don't know. And if it's not her, which is your question, I mean, it could be Charlotte Flair returns. It could be nobody for now, Sean, because we have Survivor Series coming up, and they're doing a women's War Games match. And so they may end up in that. And even if they're not in the women's War Games match, maybe they do a traditional Survivor Series match. So I don't know that we see Bianca Belair defending the title at Survivor Series. Probably December, maybe the Rumble then, for the next major title defense. And yeah, just by... I mean, you can try to build somebody up between now and then, but I don't see anybody on the roster on the Raw roster currently that just stands out as, oh, this is obvious. So I'm going to go to what you said. Maybe it is Charlotte Flair, even though that also feels Mania worthy. But will they go right to that now? I guess I just don't know. Does anyone else jump out to you, Sean, as a legit candidate?
No, honestly, not right now. I was trying to think of, like, especially on the Raw roster, there's nobody on there that hasn't been defined at a low level to think that they could really match up with Bianca at this point. I mean, you know, they put the titles obviously back on Io and Dakota, which I just don't, I mean, flip-flopping titles. I mean, those titles haven't meant a lot, but the fact they just flip them back and forth like nobody's business just really just ticks me off. I just get kind of tired of it. It's like, why are we flipping these titles back and forth just for no reason, it seems
like
to me.
Three title changes since they were reintroduced at the end of August. Three now.
Yeah, it's so I gave Crown Jewel probably a C. Like, it was okay. I mean, the wrestling was good, but the finishes just, it had a lot to be desired, I guess, for me as a fan. But I want to talk about AEW. That's my last thing I want to talk about, because there's other callers need to get in and, you know, share what they're thinking about the weekend too. But I thought,
sure, one more second, Sean. We do have Fairplay back on the line. Fairplay, anyone jump out as a opponent for Bianca? Fairplay, are you there? What in the hell is going on with Fairplay? It says he's in the queue. It says he's on the line. I don't know. And he just disconnected. All right, Sean, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We'll try again with Fairplay later. He is, I mean, you got to give him credit. He's really trying hard here to get on the show. Hopefully we can make it work. I don't know if he's in some bad cell area, but just his cell phone's fluky. But, Sean, you said you wanted to talk AEW, so let's do it.
Cool, cool. Johnny, I miss you, man. I really do. This hurts more and more. The more this is happening, the more I miss you. This is devastating me. This is really hurting me. but with AEW, I just think I've been very down on AEW as a whole. I really have been. I've not been a fan of really anything they're doing at all at this point. I mean, maybe with Moxley is probably the only thing. And even MJF, I just want to throw this out here. I don't want you to necessarily talk about it now, and you guys could talk about it if somebody else brings it up. But I'm worried about the MJF swerve. I just think he's going to swerve people. I think it's a dumb booking perspective, but I just think that's where they're going because they've done it before, and there's a lot of history of that with them. But going back to one of the main things they've done, which I just have not liked with AEW, is this Jade storyline with Nyla. I just think this storyline is awful. I just think it's stupid. Nyla's stealing the belt and her just trying to get it back, and Nyla acting stupid on stage with her and Vicky with that annoying laugh, that annoying excuse me, which we thought they should have got rid of that. We've agreed on that forever, and they still keep it, and they still think it's a big deal and people care about it. They just don't. But with that storyline, Jade, I just feel like is so – they could be building her up. I mean, they're building her up with the streak, but other than that, I just think they've hurt her in so many ways with what they're doing, the stupid booking stuff. And a heel-on-heel matchup, I guess they're trying to turn Jade babyface, sort of. So what do you think they've done with that? How do you think they're doing in AEW in general with some of the storylines, but especially the Jade one? What do you think they're doing with her? And that's pretty much all I had, Jason. I appreciate you, man. I hope to – one of these days down the line, man, like you were saying, I hope we can get something going. I'd love to talk to you more about just wrestling as a whole, man. I love it, and I love talking to you guys about it. And I appreciate you taking my call, man, as always.
You got it, Sean, and we'll definitely figure something out. I promise you that. So AEW's booking overall, there's a little more to say about that than there is about Jade. So I'll start with the Jade. I just kind of look at Jade Cargill, Hook, Wardlow, acts that they did a good job of building up as like homegrown talents that feel like they've kind of stalled out a little bit. Not that they're in terrible places, but they have kind of stalled. Like, what's the last meaningful thing Hook did? I guess you could point to when he teamed with Action Bronson, but is it basically the same formula since then? Wardlow's got his thing going with Samoa Joe. Looks like we're going to get a breakup there based on the mannerism, the facial expressions of Samoa Joe coming out of their match on Rampage. And so that should be fun. And hopefully that will be enough to get Wardlow going again. And again, not that Wardlow's in a bad place. I guess I just expected to see bigger and better by now, a more consistent storytelling with him. And then the Jade Cargill situation, totally with him. I totally with Sean when it comes to the way this has been done. I think that Nyla Rose is somebody that, you know, they build up as, is it the something beast? I can't remember what exactly the slogan is with her. And she has the beast bomb and all of that. She does, you know, she is someone you can build up as being, you know, at least a threat to Jade Cargill. Where most opponents Jade works with, you're just like, okay, she's going to hit Jade and she's going to win. Maybe they're going to tease you with a near fall for the other person. Maybe not, but you know Jade's going to win. Nyla's been there and done it in AEW, and I think she would still be the underdog in the eyes of most people, but if you gave her a proper build-up, had her beat some people on television in advance of it to remind people that, oh, yeah, she can, you know, she's a dominant character. She wins with that beast bomb, and she, just, you know, can destroy opponents and all of that. I think you could have built her up as a good, strong contender. Right now, what I'm seeing in that program, I'm just underwhelmed by. The stolen belt, a stolen car, really. And we can all point, well, WWE did this, because that's what people like to do when you criticize anything one of the other company did. You point to the other one, what they've done. How about we don't? How about we just focus on what's happened here? And they did a stolen car storyline. I'm not into this at all. I felt like Nyla and Vicky being out there during Jade's match and talking during the thing, it was just a turnoff. It led to chaos. So I'm disappointed by that. With AEW booking, and I do see fair play. We'll give it another crack here coming up in a moment. AEW booking overall. So Rampage is just, by and large, a throwaway show, unfortunately. I wanted to believe Tony Khan's excuse that, you know, we had a lot of people out with injuries, and this is going to be our chance to make it better and all these different things. And then it really still feels like a throwaway show most weeks. Yes, they just had Mike Tyson on They had Shibata on. We'll see what that does numbers-wise. I think any increase would be for Tyson by and large, and that's no disrespect to Katsuyori Shibata. It's just I don't think he's like a household name in the United States by any means, and so I don't know what kind of an effect he would have on AEW's ratings. Dynamite, I think two of the last three shows I enjoyed quite a bit. This last week I felt like was a step down in terms of quality, but not a bad show either. It didn't have the, you know, usually there's a match you can point to as being a really memorable match, and just from a storytelling standpoint, it was okay. But the two previous shows, I felt like they did a really good job, and it was nice to see because I had been down, really down, on Tony Khan's booking going into those two shows. We're ramping up as we approach full gear, and I hope that they can, you know, tell some really compelling stories along the way. You do have the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega coming back. Can't say that I'm personally excited about the decision to have them right back in the Trios title division. I just don't care about the Trios title. Yes, they'll have a very good match with Death Triangle. I don't doubt that at all. But I just would rather see those guys involved in something bigger than the Trios titles. And, yeah, maybe they can help make the Trios titles feel more important. But it's like all this, everything that's going on with Punk and everything, is leading to those guys coming back to challenge for the Trios titles. They had the tournament going on. So, yeah, there's things happening. I look forward to seeing Jon Moxley and MJF quite a bit. It can be better. It has been better in AEW. I think they need to be – they need to tell better stories. I think the people who really defend them like the match quality as much as anything. And they don't – either they're not as – the storytelling isn't as important to them, or they like the style of the storytelling we get in AEW, which I just often feel is underwhelming. But that's just me. So hopefully I answered Sean's question. Fair Play did drop off again. I don't know what's going on with his technology. I do want to remind everybody that the Colin McGuire piece, McGuire's Monday, is available if you're listening to this live. It went up at 1:30, or it should have if the timer worked out properly. If it didn't, I'll take a look here in a minute. But again, it's on Logan Paul and Celebrities in Wrestling, so be sure to check that out. Colin's blog's available almost every Monday. He just had to miss one. He had a nice streak going, but he had to miss one. He had some things going on. But the week before that, he did his 100th blog. So he's been doing this for a while, and he does great, consistent work. And I encourage everybody to check his work out on the blogs on Mondays when you get a chance. And then also you can join me for my live review of WWE Raw tonight. I think it was Sean mentioned that he hadn't had a chance to listen to the audio review. I did do a Crown Jewel audio review for .M members on Saturday. Normally Jake Barnett joins me for those, but when he found out that I had to go to Des Moines, he said, I'm just going to slow you down and fly solo. And it ended up being a good move by Jake. Jake, I was like, oh, it'll be fine. But we didn't get back until well after midnight, and so I appreciate that. But we do audio reviews of all the major television shows and pay-per-views at ProWrestling.net for our members. We have the .net weekly audio show, which is Jake and I discussing all the news of the week, usually on Thursday, sometimes on Fridays. And we'll be obviously discussing the Survivor Series and Full Gear pay-per-views coming up. When we get to those, we give our predictions on the matches, but also grade the storyline build, which is something we've added here recently, and it's kind of fun to go back and look, all right, how did they do when it comes to this? How excited are we for this? And so that's a fun addition. And when I'm not doing this show on Mondays, I'm hosting my Q&A audio show for .NET members. The members submit their pro wrestling questions to start. And then on the back end of things, we have some fun with the non-wrestling section. You never know what the hell those guys are going to ask for the non-wrestling portion of the show. But it's all a good time. And that is a Monday staple, like I say, when I'm not doing Boom Live. If you're interested in membership, visit pwmembership.net. For that matter, if you are just into the audio portion only, you don't care about the ad-free version of our website, you just want the ad-free audio, and maybe you can save a little bit depending on the tier that you opt for, become a patron by visiting patreon.com/prowrestlingDOTNET. That's prowrestling.net, of course. You just have to spell it out. All right, and I will also sneak in a quick plug. If he has tried so hard to get on this show today, Johnny Fairplay has that I still feel like we should take care of Johnny and let everybody know that you can check out his fine work over at realityaftershow.com. It is the new version of what Johnny's been doing. It's kind of an updated website. New name, realityaftershow.com. If you are a reality television fan, Johnny is your guy. He's, of course, a Survivor Hall of Famer. But they cover all sorts of different reality shows over there. And you can see Johnny Fairplay in person at a number of different events. He's usually somewhere on a Wednesday night watching Survivor at a bar or some kind of nightclub, what have you. And I haven't been able to attend an event. He hasn't made it up here yet. But it always sounds like fun. He's telling me about how much fun these are all the time. And so even though I haven't been there, I feel pretty safe in recommending that if you're a fan of Johnny or a fan of Survivor, I think you'll have a good time. All the details, again, available at realityaftershow.com. And you can check out Johnny on Twitter at Johnny Fairplay. Just remember, no H in Johnny in Fairplay's case. So it's at Johnny Fairplay. Okay, there. Got the plugs out of the way. Let's get back to the phone lines. And 304 has been waiting a while, and 405 is up next. 405 has been waiting almost as long. So I do apologize for the long delay in getting to you guys. But 304, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is JB from the WV.
Nice. JB from the WV. There. Got it. Had to do it properly.
Thing figured out.
Oh, you talked out of me there for a second. I missed what you said.
Oh, I said, you got to get this co-host thing figured out. This is embarrassing.
It is. Well, I blame it all on Fairplay. It's all his fault.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I think he just,
yeah.
Again, I think he knows that I was going to tell him, like, it could have been you at Crown Jewel if you had an athletic bone in your body, but you don't. And so you're doing what you do, and Logan Paul's headlining WWE pay-per-views.
Fantasy booking at you and see what you think about it. This Friday night, you kayfabe Jay's wrist injury. You put Sammy in the match, and you have him eat the pin. How much fun do you think that would be to see the Bloodline, maybe even Splinter, maybe have Jimmy and Jay attack Sammy, but have Roman and Solo and maybe even Paul kind of defend him on that? What would you think about that?
I like it. I like it a lot. I think that would actually be a lot of fun just to see the different dynamics, you know, who is – does this turn Jimmy against Sammy if that happens?
Right.
Or does Jimmy defend Sammy? Obviously Jay is the anti-Sammy guy. Well, we have, what does Solo think? What does Roman think first and foremost? But, you know, Paul Heyman, how is he going to try to manipulate this? It's a really fun idea. The broken wrist that they were playing up, I don't know about you, JB, but I'm watching it going, he's got everything but his wrist taped. He's got a sleeve on his arm, and he has two fingers heavily taped. And he's putting weight on that hand when he gets up. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like broken fingers or something. And, hey, maybe there is something wrong with his wrist. I don't know. But just watching it, I came away thinking, I don't think that's a broken wrist.
And then under my scenario, you give the titles back to Usos because New Day is cold. And then you have Sammy and Kevin win it at WrestleMania and kind of give Sammy – his WrestleMania moment after, you know, doing the job last year in that entertaining match with the Jackass crew.
That sounds fun to me. I like it a lot.
And one final question, because I know you have people waiting. Nick Aldis is kind of in the news today. He's not going to renew the contract. He's leaving. He got suspended, fired. Whatever the story is, do you see him landing in either WWE or AEW?
Good question. That's it's going to be interesting to see where he does land, because I know, you know, he had that match with Cody Rhodes way back when on the All In show. And I know there was AEW interest, but not substantial, we'll just say, or at least if they were interested, they didn't really back it up financially is what I've heard. It just wasn't like they were throwing around some big money, and for whatever reason, they didn't offer Aldis a big deal. A lot's changed since then. Obviously, WWE is signing a number of people. And so, you know, could it be that Nick and Mickie James, for that matter, both end up back in WWE? Maybe. Could it be that they both end up in AEW? Maybe. Could they go in a split? Who knows? But it is interesting that, you know, he said the contract is coming up in December. NWA came out with a press release today, which I haven't had a chance to put on the site yet, saying that he is no longer going to be on the Hard Times 3 pay-per-view. Now, I don't know. I'm not there to know how tense things are between Billy Corgan and Nick Aldis. That part, if it's just that, if there's tension between them, as long as Nick Aldis is being a pro, I would say that Billy should be booking him. And, you know, let him work his final dates and move on. Now, if there's all sorts of friction and Nick is like being a headache in the locker room, not that I've heard that total theory, but if that were the case, then I would be more understanding of the position that the NWA is taking on this. But I just don't know. Where would you like to see him end up, JB?
I'd like to see what he could do in the WWE, although I've often heard that he or Bruce has heat with him and saying things like, you know, he never would, you know, make it in the WWE. So that would be a concern if he landed there. Do you know anything about the heat that Bruce has with him, or is there heat there?
So they went at it on social media at one point, and I don't remember the specifics. You know, JB, my memory is toast, but right. I know they went at it on social media over something, and I'm guessing that triggered it. Look, Bruce Pritchard is still a powerful player in WWE, but if Paul Levesque wants Nick Aldis, Paul Levesque is going to make an offer and probably not really care what Bruce Pritchard has to say about it. I'm not saying that Paul Levesque doesn't respect Bruce's opinion. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, if this is something that Paul Levesque's identified, Aldis is a guy he wants, I don't think he's going to care that Pritchard and Aldis have had a social media spat before. And for all we know, Aldis not renewing with the NWA, maybe there's just major issues between him and Billy, and he doesn't have a landing spot. But, yeah, I think it would be – either company would be interesting. I'd be more, I think, excited about WWE only because it feels like when they introduce somebody new, they push them right away. Where AEW, you get them for sometimes, you know, 2-3 weeks, and they disappear to the YouTube shows or the Rampage. And not everyone, but we've just seen more of that. And I don't like seeing it happen to anybody, but I think Aldis is a talented guy. And, yeah, I would welcome seeing him in either promotion. But, yeah, I think just because of AEW's track record and having so many people under contract, I do worry that he could get lost in the shuffle there.
All right, Jason, that's all I have. Congrats on the addition of Obi to the family, and have a great week.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, he is being a very good boy so far today. I'm very proud of him. Unlike Obi, let's try 405. Sit tight. I'm going to try to bring in Fair Play. We'll see if this works. Johnny, I worked in your plug. Are you there, sir? Wow, technology is brutal in the Fair Play household. Johnny, have your daughter come over. She could make this work. I have no doubt in my mind. This is like Johnny becoming an old guy thing. Or, you know, probably something completely out of his control. But, yeah, still not hearing you, Johnny. I appreciate you trying, man. If you want to check out, I'm not going to blame you. Just let me know via DM. You may have missed it, but I already said, we could hear you for like 1 second, and there he did drop off again. So, Johnny, if you're listening, we heard you for a second, which is enough that I don't have to change the headline because technically you were on the show. And it's I don't want you to get a big ego, Fair Play, and think that, oh, he needs me to be the draw of the show. No, it's just I'm too lazy. I don't want to go back and have to change a headline that I've already have written and saved and ready to go for when the show's over and I upload this. That's all it is. I mean, you may be a draw. I don't know. I don't know if the metrics may show it. They may not. I'll never humor you. I'll never tell you if I feel like, oh, man, Fair Play's the key to this show being a massive success. All right, is the show a massive success? I don't know. Let's go to 405. 405, who is this? And as the wheel keeps spinning, where are you calling from?
Jay Moss in Oklahoma City.
Hey, another Dynamite member who's had – yeah, another member who's had some medical issues. How are you doing, my man?
I'm good, actually. Still recovering. It's going to be another week or so before I'm back to, well, as close to 100% as one can get, given everything I've been through in the last 4 years. But, yeah, I mean, I can't complain.
Well, I'm happy to hear you're doing better. And, yes, you have had you've been through it all. And hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel and everything's going to be smooth and you can avoid all this stuff for a long, long time. But what's on your mind today wrestling-wise?
Well, let me start off. And I'm going to go to the Survivor Series. We're just 3 weeks away. Who do you think the teams are at this point? I mean, Damage Control seems like they're not great, especially with Bailey's loss. They've taken quite a beating. And then, I mean, obviously you got the Bloodline as one of the men's teams, you know, makes sense. Who fills that out?
So if it is a Roman, if he's working the show, then, you know, the Bloodline team fills itself, essentially, I guess, with Roman, Solo, Sammy, and the Usos. So that's five. Facing them is kind of the interesting part. And again, they may go with Judgment Day and something else instead. They've said they're doing a men's and a women's. So I think we're only getting one men's match. I would think it's Bloodline. And I think it's a really good opportunity for them to do a couple of different things. One, it could be this is where, you know, JB kind of talked about Sammy potentially losing the tag titles for the Usos. And I like that. It's a clever idea. It could also, you could just double down on it and have Sammy be the guy that submits in War Games. And all of a sudden, you know, he's in another bad spot because he let the team down, if they want to go that route with it. The other thing he could do, Roman, they were talking about, now he hasn't been pinned since like December of 2019. What if he's the guy who takes the L in the War Games match? He's not losing the title, but you can really build somebody up that way as a big threat to him for the Rumble or whatever pay-per-view that they want to do it at, if they have somebody actually beat him or force him to submit. I guess it depends on the rules of WWE's version of War Games, if there's a pin or it's got to be a submission. But either way, that would be a big deal if Roman actually were to tap out or be pinned in a match right now. So I think that's a possibility. But the question you have is who's going to be on the other side of it. I would think that it's probably going to be a kind of a makeshift team of all-star baby faces, if you will. You know, maybe you don't do another, you get Drew and Karrion Kross away from each other. Hell, maybe they're on the same team. You know, you could do something like that too, where they're two of the five. But I would think, you know, you could put Drew in there. You could put Kevin Owens in there. You can kind of have some crossover between the Raw and SmackDown brands as far as who you want to insert into the match. Maybe Kingston and Woods are part of this. And then, yeah, I don't even know who, you know, pick whoever sounds appealing as the fifth person. I don't know what they have in mind, who, you know, if they want somebody to get that win over Roman, who that would be. I mean, you could have done Logan Paul, but with his knee injury, hopefully it's not a torn ACL. But even if it's even if he gets good news from his MRI, I don't know that we're going to have to that we're going to be seeing him that soon, you know, just a few weeks away from now or a couple weeks away from now. So, J-Moss, do you have anyone jump out at you as somebody you'd like to see in that match working opposite Bloodline? And then we can talk about the women, and I'll just tell you up front, I have not a clue.
Yeah, I mean, you can put Drew in there. You put the New Day in there. That's three. As for the other two, I struggle to think of anybody that would. I mean, maybe you could put Lashley in there.
I was thinking KO and Seth Rollins.
KO, yeah, that works. That works. KO, absolutely. And I mean, you can revisit KO and Rollins being friends long ago, or at least long ago it was. You can revisit that for a few minutes. Certainly wouldn't hurt anything. And, of course, from there you can set up all those matches, for Roman going forward, you know, assuming that, you know, we're assuming that Cody or The Rock are his Mania opponent, one of the two. So, I mean, you set up all those guys, you know, or you set up Drew, Seth, and Rollins, or Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens as three potential opponents for him in the lead up to WrestleMania, or perhaps two before and one after.
Yeah, it sounds fun. On the women's side, man, that's the tricky part, is I just don't – I mean, okay, if you want to put – Damage Control in there, that fills three spots. Who are these other two, and what connection do they have to them? Nikki Cross could be one. I guess you could, if you are bringing back Doudrop is Piper Niven as a heel, given her relationship with Nikki. That could be the fifth. But then who their opponents are, I mean, okay, you got Alexa and Bianca. And, I mean, I'm just kind of over to Asuka. And then Candice LeRae would be another because she's been kind of involved in that. And then I have no idea who the fifth would be. But as I've said, you know, J-Moss, it doesn't excite me that I know they feel they need to have a men's and a women's. And as I keep pointing out, look, if the situation were reversed and there was an obvious women's match that, you know, it was made sense and I knew people would be excited about, but there wasn't an obvious men's match and they were kind of having to cobble something together, I'd say, well, just do the women's match. Just do the one. But the situation's reversed. And because it is, I say, just do the men's match. I think one War Games match is enough.
Yeah, you don't need to force a second one, you know, if there's nothing obvious. I think Doudrop ends up as a face though.
She could, and hey, you know, it could happen in that match.
Yeah, I mean, I think she ends up going up against Nikki Cross, you know, ends up feuding with Nikki Cross, I should say. And certainly Nikki Cross as another member of the Team Damage Control or whatever you want to call it certainly makes sense. In fact, I think that's where they're going with her. I think she's part of Damage Control. I don't know what's going to happen, you know, tonight that sets that up, but that's certainly where I think they're going. But I mean, other than that, Bianca, Alexa, Asuka, maybe Piper Niven. There's no fourth that's or no fifth that stands out to me.
I guess one way to do it, pick your heel for the heel side. I guess if it's not Piper Niven, you know, whoever, you could find somebody to put in that slot. Emma's back. You could put her on the babyface side if you wanted to. Another thing you could do creatively is Charlotte Flair's back. Well, now, I mean, we haven't seen her show up on TV yet. I have no idea if she will be or not. But if she is, okay, she comes back almost apologetic or like acting like she's turned over a new leaf. And, of course, there's the skepticism from Bianca Belair, but you kind of turn that into the mystery going into the match. Can they coexist? What's Charlotte up to? Kind of, you know, a little bit like we're seeing in Impact Wrestling right now for those watching that show. They're doing a really good job of the mystery of, okay, is Bully Ray shooting straight? Is he really, you know, trying to do this the right way as he heads into a title match with Josh Alexander, or is it the same old Bully Ray? You know, you could do something like that with Charlotte Flair, too. I'm guessing it won't be anything that big as Charlotte Flair being in the match. I kind of hope I'm wrong. I'd like to see Charlotte back. It's been a long time. But, yeah, I mean, I guess you put Emma in there, and then on the heel side, I don't have the Raw roster in front of me, but I'm sure we could find a heel. They still have a little bit of time to build this up, but it just doesn't feel like we've reached a point where we need this to happen, like it does the obvious on the Bloodline side of things and how dominant they've been. But they're going to do it. I can grumble about it all I want to, but J-Moss, they're going to do it. Anything else you have in mind?
They're going to do it, yeah. I don't know if you've got anybody else on the line, so I'm going to get out of the way just in case because we're up against
the top. I have fair play waiting that his phone can go silent again. Should we try to bring him on and laugh when his phone doesn't work?
Yeah, let's try it. I mean, heck, I wanted to talk to him about him wearing his Bengals jersey on Twitter yesterday, but we'll try it.
Fair play, are you there?
I think I'm here.
Oh, my God.
Larry,
am I? Fair play. You are here.
There you go.
Tell us about your Bengals jersey.
I wore the White Owl Bengals jersey. They broke it out on the Thursday night game. I ordered that night, and 6 weeks later, it showed up. It's great.
Now, here's the question: did you have it on during the Panthers Bengals game yesterday?
I I did, and the technology is so amazing for me. The last 2 days straight, I went to Kickback Jack's to watch all the games, and there was a slight drizzle outside. So as a result, DirecTV was off on 40 televisions. It was perfect. But I did have a drunk guy beside me that had $100 on Detroit, so he had to scream at every bad call for 30 minutes. So that was just as frustrating as today has been.
So a slight drizzle. I guess something's gone on there. I remember I had DirecTV at an old location, a different residence that I lived at one point, and we were on the second floor, with one floor above us. And so it was kind of the satellite receiver or the satellite itself was actually on our deck, and so I don't know if it was just having things above us kind of helped shield some of it or what have you. It took like a massive thunderstorm for the satellite picture to go out. These days, wide open townhouse on top of the house. If it's cloudy, the damn picture will get bad. They're getting worse somehow. Fair play.
Yeah. So now a little bit of technology frustration, but I think I'm in now. I have my phone went to SOS mode for the last hour and 15 minutes, I guess. So apparently the iPhone 13 is not enough. I have to buy the iPhone 14 just to make a phone call. So that's what I guess I'll be doing with the rest of my day.
Or you could be like on an iPhone 6S or whatever I'm still on, like the old man that I am. I did go look at the new ones, and I just got cold feet and said, no, I'll stick with what I have a little bit longer.
I've got an XR, and I don't have that problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on today. I thought today started okay. I got back to the gym for the first time in 2 weeks because I've been sick. And so I watched the Crown Jewel so I could talk about it, and I looked at an hour of frustration. So and then tomorrow I'll be in Durham, North Carolina for a live Survivor viewing party with the Queen, Sandra Diaz Twine. It's a Dirty Bowl Brewing.
Are you getting a day ahead?
Oh, I'm sure I am. What's today? Monday?
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. So, yeah, you'll be there
now
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday, November 9th. The Queen, Sandra Diaz Twine, will be joining me. I got Adam Gentry from Survivor Cook Islands. I got Wes Harper from Naked and Afraid. He's been doing he just got back from another XL that he can't talk about. So he'll be there. It's going to be crazy. Tickets available at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. Then the night before Thanksgiving, I'll be in at Bolero Snort Brewery in the Meadowlands, 7 miles from Times Square. It's me and like 20 survivors, I think. Tickets for that available at SurvivorHomecoming.com. And finally, I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, making my Charlotte debut. It's Lenny Boy Brewing Company in Charlotte. It's myself, the Queen, Sandra Diaz Twine will be there. Special guest I'm not allowed to talk about. There's no way I could have anyone from this season there, or if not, two or maybe three people from this season. But, Lenny Boy Brewing on November 30th, that's Wednesday night. Tickets for that also at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. But, yeah, nothing's really going on.
Yeah, we talked about this. Like, CBS won't allow people who are on the show currently. And don't tell me who anything. I'm 2 weeks behind. But they won't allow anyone who's on the current season to appear at any of these functions. But as we mentioned, if they just somebody from the season happen to live in the area and wander into that bar on the night you're there, that's out of your control, Johnny. There's nothing you can do to stop it from happening.
That is, but peek behind the curtain. This is the only time that they're relevant. I mean, we're on season 43 of Survivor. Let these people bask in what – I mean, I may or may not have gone out with someone from this cast a couple weeks ago. We may have gone to a barcade together. And I walk in, and the security guy loses his mind. He goes, oh, my God, the goat. Are you kidding me? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, thank you. And this is
Rupert
after I had someone from this that would be me. So, is right after this person signed their first autograph. I had them sign like 30 buffs for me. It was the first autograph they've ever sent. So they were on cloud 9. And they went from hero to zero in 0.6 seconds. So, because we walk in and, you know, the guy's like, oh, my God, the goat. And I was just like, hey, are you watching the new season? No, man, that show's corny. Everybody on there is lame. So that was fun for me, but not for that person.
Jay Moss, are you still happy that we brought Fair Play in?
Fair Play with the heel turn. Wow.
It's not a term, brother.
Never been a baby fish. Yeah, he's never been a baby fish.
I never left.
The heel turn.
Jay Moss, did you have anything?
I mean,
do you have anything else?
Well, yeah. Let me jump to, you know, beyond Friday night. I mean, assuming I'm gonna, as much as I like JB from the WV scenario that he laid out, I'm going to stick with the idea that they're going to have the Usos break the New Day's record. Who's their next opponent?
Ooh. I mean, Johnny, I guess it. You can get more out of New Day, obviously, than just the one match if you choose to. The Viking Raiders look like they're coming back. I don't know the status of Ivar's injury. I don't know if they were heels last time we saw them. I guess they don't have to be, but they could be still. And anyone jumping out at you, Johnny, is like who the Usos work with next. And, oh, yeah, there's that whole other brand on Monday night that the undisputed champions from both brands never seem to defend their titles against.
Yeah. I think we got the Usos beat the New Day. I think next in line we have the Viking Raiders. I think we were potentially going to get the Paul brothers against the Usos. And, but I'm guessing an MCL and ACL will prevent that. We have the Club. I could see a quick program, you know, with Gallows and Anderson. And then we work our way to Mania with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeating the Usos at Mania.
I like that a lot. I know a lot of people want to see Sami in that main event with Roman. And, hey, if it happens, I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. But I just think that Sami and Kevin going against the Usos would be a lot of fun, too. I don't think you can really go wrong. I mean, I know, again, there's some Sami diehards that really want to see that. And I get it. But I think this just seems more likely to me that it's Sami and KO challenging the Usos. Jay Moss, anything else, buddy?
Nope, that's it. Have a good one, and go Bengals. Hooday.
All right, man. Glad to hear you are feeling better, and happy to see that your football team is playing better, too. They got off to a rocky start, but, man, they exploded yesterday. All right, so we do have open phone lines if anyone would like to call in. I think I'm going to get through. I think we just have one email question. Normally we have a bunch. I hope I didn't actually delete. So, yeah, I only see the one. If anybody out there, like if you sent them in, and I mean, if you're listening live and I don't get to it, you can just resend them. But that's the only thing I'm seeing. I could have sworn we had one more, but maybe I'll find it. Anyway, Jermaine from Chicago. The biggest villain on the show, and Johnny Fairplay's on the show. Think about that for a second. Wow. He says, hey, Jason and Fairplay. He says, I hope you had a nice trip to the land of windmills, a.k.a. Iowa. I did, you know, and there are a lot of them. My God. He says, good luck with the new pup. Thank you. He says, so Bray Wyatt is selling us a match against himself. He says, I don't like watching wrestling that doesn't sell matches. Sorry. He says, I like in-ring wrestling, and everything is second or the cherry on top. So that's why he is an AEW fan. I'm not even kidding. Like, we've been through this. You know, when it comes, he likes his match. And the storytelling matters to him, but not as important. But he ends up saying, what do you think about this Fair Play as far as the idea of Bray facing himself? Do you think that's what's happening?
Yes and no. My guess, and who knows, and I could easily be wrong. I ask my girlfriend. I'm wrong often. I think he's going to have like kind of a self-contained thing, and it'll be him going against the people in his mind. You know, Uncle Howdy, who appears to potentially be Bo Dallas, and so instead of Bray Wyatt oozing his weirdness and messing up other characters, I think it's going to be encapsulated to where he just feuds with the people in his circle until he gets in, until he finishes all, you know, and that could potentially take a year, you know, could take 2 months, but, you know, who knows? But, like, I like the idea of you know, almost like a Codyverse type deal, you know, that, you know, but good. And he fights with them, and, you know, it's a battle against these demons being personified by other people, and he defeats them and then becomes, you know, Bray Wyatt, who is a third generation guy, who is a star on his own without the weirdness that comes with it.
Yeah, it very well could be what you're saying, where he is feuding with basically his things that he's created on his. I mean, you could see somebody dressed up as the Fiend to face Bray Wyatt at some point if they want to go in that direction. But, you know, it could also be that this Uncle Howdy character is going to lure Bray back to being some version, you know, some heel version of Bray rather than the fairly nice guy that he's. Well, the guy he's trying to be a nice guy right now, as we've seen. You know, you don't want to interrupt him. He came close to snapping on that production person on SmackDown the other night. That was kind of a fun twist. So, yeah, I'm into this so far. As always, doesn't mean that once they cut to the chase and we start getting matches and I'm going to be like, oh, this is great, it may suck. But I'm into everything they're doing so far. I'm really enjoying it. Then the other things remain. You did have one other question. He asks, who is the next number one contender for Roman? Bad Bunny or maybe Justin Bieber? So Jermaine is the resident Roman Reigns hater, and of course he was not happy about Logan Paul getting the title shot. And I get it from people who don't like a celebrity just comes in, works 2 matches, get a title shot. I didn't mind it because it was a spectacle match. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't like Crown Jewel either, do you?
I don't like the Saudi government being involved. You know, I don't like that end of things, obviously.
We should have burned through Kevin Owens for no reason on that one?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of it. It's like, okay, it's a Saudi show. It's like the one place Logan Paul might actually get cheered, at least on this show. We'll see if he wins people over eventually. It was just, it was a spectacle match, and it turned out to be a damn good one. Yeah, and I think the fact that, you know, Jermaine can't criticize the match as he normally would if he could, says everything, you know, because it ended up being a very entertaining spectacle match, at least I felt. And with that, I know you ended up watching the show, and we haven't had a chance to really speak about it yet. And so with no callers, and I will double check to make sure there's not another email question. But, Johnny, I do want to talk to you about Crown Jewel. I said it was a B show in terms of letter grade. I thought it was, you know, B for good. I thought it was a good show. Wasn't wowed by it, but I can't point to, oh, here's a terrible match or anything like that. I thought everything delivered for what it was, by and large. You know, some things are a little more disappointing than others, but I definitely enjoyed the various matches on this show. Where do you stand on it?
Yeah, I liked it. I had a friend come up. So I watched the last hour on Saturday, and then I watched the beginning two and a half hours yesterday morning. And I had a friend come over yesterday evening. We were playing pinball, and we were talking about it. He's like, dude, how was Crown Jewel? I was like, it was fun. He's like, oh man. He goes, I love those Paul brothers. And I was like, oh my god, I hate them. And he was like, why? He goes, I was just like, I don't know. They seem like a-holes. And he's like, yeah, so are we. Like, what? So I'm like, you kind of got a point. He's just like, yeah. He's like, I think they'd be super cool to hang out with. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, they got expensive Pokemon cards. Maybe they'll give you some. They the one guy is the Fox robot that comes to ring with him on the weird boxing pay-per-view stuff. I'm just like, all right, you're kind of talking me into it. For everyone that criticized doing the selfie video and jumping off. Everyone that's like non-wrestling who I've talked to, and some, you know, wrestling, but mostly the non-wrestling people that I've talked to that have seen it, and that's why Logan Paul is there, to potentially grab those non-wrestling people. They loved it. They thought it was one of the coolest things they've ever seen. So mission accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully it is having that effect. I mean, that is the goal. It's hard to measure, you know, because right now they're going to say, well, it's the most viewed crown jewel in history. And here's the gimmick on a lot of this is that they're new to Peacock. And so when they're saying something is the most viewed ever, well, yeah, there's more people watching on Peacock where it's cheaper than there were watching it on just the WWE network, because that was just WWE specific, where Peacock had people subscribing for some other things, and certainly more viewers than you'd have for a $50 pay-per-view, for instance. Now, I think they've had other Peacock, you know, crown jewel events or whatever, but I still think this is going to do well for them. But what they don't tell us are the hard numbers there. I do miss getting those hard numbers that we used to get for pay-per-view events when the quarterly financial report would come out. I think you technically can still get the pay-per-view numbers, but who cares? It's just such a small part of what they're doing. So it is hard to gauge. Like, did this bring in a lot of outsiders that are getting into WWE because of Logan Paul? Or is it, well, there's a lot of noise on social media about it, but it doesn't, you know, it's only so many people. It's really hard to say. What did you think? We haven't talked about Brock Lesnar.
Well, hold on, Jason.
And Lashley. Okay.
Hold on, getting back to the Pauls, what were the, do you happen to know by chance the numbers for Jake Paul and Silva?
I don't off the top of my head.
Okay.
I know that was considered disappointing.
Okay, but I would imagine it did. It made money. I mean, I don't feel like they lost money. And
sure.
and that's a week out of people's memory, you know. And Jake Paul and Logan Paul, they look a lot alike. So you have this recency of this guy, you know, Jake Paul, who beat a UFC legend, you know, the Spider, Anderson Silva. So he beats him, right? And you have people on Peacock, which if you have Comcast is free. And so you're on the Peacock app and you go there, and on the main page for Saturday and Sunday, and probably the same today, on the main page, the big thing you see at the front is Jake Paul and Roman Reigns, who, guess what, looks a little bit like The Rock, maybe better looking. There's some people there probably going to click that button, and that's why you hired the guy in the first place, and that's why that guy should have been in the main event on a pay-per-view that really means nothing.
And he's good. Yeah, I mean, that's he's done a hell of a job in the ring. And I get, you know, people want the traditional, you got to beat somebody that matters to get the title shot. But as I pointed out, this has happened in real sports. Brock Lesnar is the perfect example of it. Having two UFC fights, lost one of them, and was thrust into a title shot, and ended up winning the championship in his third UFC fight. So these things, you know, for people that say, I want realism and this isn't realistic, it's like, well, yeah, it's special occasions, but it does happen in the real fighting world as well.
That Brock Lesnar fight against Randy Couture in his third UFC bout, I was in Buffalo for an appearance. Like, I'd done a club appearance, and afterwards we ended up going somewhere that had the UFC fight. And I was in a bar filled with UFC fans that were disgusted by the fact that this WWF guy got a shot at the champion. He's got no – they were actually happy that he got the shot so he can get embarrassed by a real fighter. And guess
Ouch.
What? They an entire room full there to watch this, and it only takes one lucky shot, Jason.
That's what they kept telling us going into Crown Jewel. And, you know, that fight had such appeal. I remember it was my – I don't know if it was her actual birthday. It might have been. But it was my girlfriend's birthday weekend, nonetheless. And she's not – she can – you know, if wrestling's out in the background, she's used to it, basically. But she's not going to go out of her way to watch it. She's not a wrestling fan. She wanted to see that fight. That, I'm like, gosh, I'm going to have to miss this fight. It's on her birthday weekend. That's what she wanted to do. I was like, damn, that never happened. So that just goes to show the crossover appeal that Brock Lesnar had. I don't know that Logan Paul has the same level of crossover appeal for WWE. But what did you think of Lesnar and Lashley's match?
It was good. I mean, it was a Brock Lesnar special. It was good. Like, I watched with my 5-year-old Madeline, and she was like, that guy's big. when she saw Lashley come out. And I'm just like, yeah, he's pretty big. And then Lesnar, she goes, that guy's real big. And I was like, yeah. She goes, if you're the biggest, does that make you the best? I go, yep, it sure does. What I explain it.
How
about that?
We just got to take a quick sprint through the show here. I want to get your thoughts on everything. And so keep the comments brief because we have a little over 10 minutes to go. The tag title change, again, this time going back to Dakota Kai and Io Sky, they beat Asuka and Alexa Bliss.
I don't like flip-flopping the titles. However, I think this is one of those deals where they just wanted to give the Saudi Arabia audience a title change, so I can live with it. Of all the belts to flip-flop like that, that would be the one I would choose to do that with, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm same here. I'm not crazy about the hot potato, but for all we know, it's like contractually obligated with this deal to have something, a title change or something. Drew McIntyre, Karrion Kross.
I thought it was a good match. I thought the drones throughout the night were so amazing, and it was kind of cool watching Scarlett and Kross kind of break character and look up at the drones, and because she's like, look at that. He's like, it's pretty cool. And so I like that a lot. it looks like the feud's going to continue. I don't think they wanted to end this. I mean, because there's been a lot of time invested in this feud. I don't think they want to end it on a pay-per-view that doesn't count, even though this felt like it counts more than any other Crown Jewel we've seen thus far in the history of Crown Jewel.
Yes.
This seemed, more topical with current storylines and themes. So, but still, I don't think they're done. And I'm looking forward to it to end. But I've met Kross and Scarlett. They've helped out the last few years with Give Kids the World and the Hearts Reality charity event that I do every December. And she's beyond. I think she's one of the hottest women on the planet. Like, no contest. And he's ridiculously nice. I mean, like, I walked up and they're just like, oh my God, you're the guy from Survivor. They're like, you remember Nick Wilson? We did a deal with Nick Wilson in NWA or in TNA wrestling. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, I can't believe the hottest woman in the world is talking to me about Nick Wilson. and Karrion Kross too. So no, I think they're really awesome people. And I don't know if I have them as friend status, but I root for my friends, and I root for people that are good people.
Nick Wilson, my favorite Survivor winner of all time. Judgment Day, BCOC. You didn't win.
He's one of my favorites.
Thought you said one of mine. I said you didn't. I said winner for a reason.
No, I said one of mine. One of mine. I know I'm your favorite.
Gotcha.
Favorite. It appears to be the setup for whoever's going to be the woman to combat Rhea Ripley. Even though she beats up men, I don't understand why a man can't fight her, because she appears to make it an open invitation to everyone. And it seems as though they can't find a woman. Last time I saw Anderson on television, he used to brag about his hot Asian wife. Bring her out there to beat up Rhea Ripley. Come on.
All I know is someone needs to kick her ass. I couldn't believe Cole said that.
And it's not going to be Wade Barrett.
Braun Strowman beats Omos in the Battle of the Big Men.
All right, so just with the limited amount of time that I have, doing my podcast at realityaftershow.com and having to watch all the reality TV and then just being on the road so much, last week in Boston, week before in Nashville, and everything coming up, I haven't seen a lot of the weekly stuff. So most of my viewing is the network specials and AEW pay-per-views. And so with that, I haven't seen Omos's new outfit. I think he looks the best presentation-wise yet. I hated, just the pants and the tank top. I was just like, buy this man a wrestling. I mean, don't put him in the Elegante outfit, but buy this man a wrestling outfit. And he has a wrestling outfit. And, I don't know if it's Braun Strowman or just a new boost of confidence, but he was playing the part, and that's half the battle. Good for him.
How about the Usos beating Ridge Holland and Butch to retain the Undisputed Tag Titles?
Good match. I wish it would have gone longer.
Then Bianca Belair beat Bayley in a last woman standing match to retain the Raw title.
That was, if it wasn't my favorite match, it was tied for my favorite match, you know, with the main event. But they had fun out there. Like I felt the ladder match last special was kind of a letdown, but this one it was fun. So I wish that there was a faster go-kart in all of Saudi Arabia, because that may have been the slowest moving golf cart that I've ever seen, and I've seen some really fast ones. I have some friends with way too much money that they waste on needless things like that. So, but in the future, I implore them to find a faster golf cart. But I thought the match was fun, and the silly finish was good for me.
And Bray Wyatt segment.
I feel like it's another chapter in the deal. You know, we saw Alexa Bliss being, you know, bothered by the image of the Firefly. So maybe I didn't think it made sense to bring in another. If you're going to have a woman in this thing, what's wrong with Alexa Bliss? I mean, I think she understood the character. She embraced it. So, you know, why are we, you know, pretending that that didn't happen? So at least it's being semi-acknowledged, even if you go a different different direction, at least it's being acknowledged. I liked it. You know, I'm looking if Uncle Howdy is Bo Dallas, as it appears to be. I love Bo Dallas, and giving this guy another chance in wrestling, I'm for all day long.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun. And look, there's been a lot of negativity about Alexa being potentially part of Bray's act. And to that, I said, let's see what it is. I hated Lady Fiend. You know, I didn't like that persona at all. Bray's not the Fiend right now. So if they do bring her back into this somehow, some way, it may be doing something completely different that's a little more grounded in reality. So I just say, you know, I mean, I may look back on it and go, wow, that sucked. But we don't know until we get there. So let's see. And then Roman Reigns beating the man who could have been you.
Real quick, JJ, and she did really good at with the stuff in the early incarnation of the Funhouse. So it was just the later stuff that, you know, that I felt like, you know, we all hated.
Once they
the early
hocus
stuff,
focus
she was
with it.
Exactly, and hopefully this isn't a hocus pocus Bray Wyatt.
Roman Reigns beat the man who could have been you had you like spent more time working hard in gym class and hit the weight room and just. Been an athlete, Johnny Fairplay, but he beat Logan Paul instead of Johnny Fairplay to retain the Undisputed Universal Championship. You already said this was your favorite match.
Yeah, well, we do have comparable hair.
Yeah, you do? Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I feel like that's half the battle. I feel that TNA was short-sighted and not letting me beat Jeff Jarrett or whoever the champion was at the time. More than positive it was Jeff Jarrett, if you're saying the words TNA world champion in the same sentence. But, it was great. I mean, as I said, I'm not a fan of those guys, but I 100% admire the work ethic of both Paul brothers. And this was a spectacle. It was a throwaway pay-per-view that they've made less throwaway than they ever have in the past, and good on them for that. And if I'm booking WWE, that's who Roman Reigns' opponent would have been for Crown Jewel.
Johnny, you available for post-Survivor Series and post-Full Gear? We've got a couple, not next week, but we got two, I guess I reversed the order, but we got a couple of pay-per-view weekends coming up. You going to be able to do the live show?
If my phone works, and my phone has never worked up until 1 hour and 32 minutes ago, so I should be okay, and I think I'm going to make a visit over to AT&T after this podcast anyways.
That damn 5G. Well, there he is. I am happy he was able to make it. Johnny Fairplay. Follow him on Twitter at Johnny Fairplay. Just remember, no H in Johnny in the spelling of Johnny's name. And check out his fine work with the reality television stuff over at realityaftershow.com. Follow me and the brand on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. And, of course, you can become a .net member by signing up via pwmembership.net. And you can also check out our Patreon options at patreon.com/prowrestlingDOTNET. That's prowrestling.net, of course. And as I mentioned, one way or another, I'll be here. Hopefully we'll have Johnny here. phone technology, if it holds up, coming out of first Full Gear and then also coming out of Survivor Series. We are here live the Mondays coming out of non-holiday AEW and WWE pay-per-view weekends. So if there's a show on a Saturday or a Sunday, we'll be here on Monday at 1 Central, 2 Eastern. If you want to do the live part of this, it is pwaudio.net. And, of course, the show is available on the Pro Wrestling Boom feed. Check out my recent interview with Trevor Murdoch. They're doing the NWA Hard Times 3 pay-per-view this weekend, and it was good to catch up with him. Thank you to all the callers. Get better, Rabbit. Get better, J-Moss. And we'll talk to you all again in a couple of weeks. Until then, take care.